got next? This is Free Association with Dave Zarum and J.D. Bunkus.
Welcome to Free Association. I'm the aforementioned Dave Zarum, Sportsnet's NBA editor. Alongside me, as always, J.D. Bunkus, producer for Sportsnet 590, The Fan. How are you doing, J.D.?
I'm not really beside you. I'm more of in front of you.
In the same room?
In the same room. We're in the same room, for sure.
Listen,
no debating that. There's no debating that today.
We are happy that you joined us here for Sportsnet's weekly Raptors and NBA podcast. I don't know about you, J.D., but it feels like it's been a little while. We had no show last week.
Yeah, we're no longer a weekly Raptors and NBA podcast.
Well, we'll get back on the rails. But, you know, frankly, I don't think it really matters because we didn't miss much.
Excuse me? A baking powder?
All right. A lot happened since we've been gone. I feel like it's a bit of a different NBA now. The whole landscape has changed. Free agency has been unbelievable. You know, it feels... We knew going in that it would be frenzied, to say the least. But usually, you know, these things don't get resolved so quickly. Like, less than a week into free agency, all the pieces have fallen into place.
And the money!
And the money's been unreal. You know, On one end, it's hard to wrap your head around. On the other, like, I've just been taking these contracts and then trying to figure out roughly, you know, what it is in 2 years ago.
Sure, but that's
salary.
The thing is that, like, everybody's just seeing all these contracts and they have no idea how to gauge them. The most frustrating thing is people, you write something, you say anything, and you're like, wow, that's a lot of millions. And people are like, well, the cap is going up, don't you know? Yes, I know. I know the cap is going up. I know it's going to explode.
But it's true. Like, you got to wrap your head, like, basically, like, a $15 million a year contract is the equivalent of, like, an $8 million a year contract. Like,
yeah,
you have it's hard, but you got to disassociate from the numbers.
We're here to help you with that. Which contracts are good? Which are bad? Who's doing well? Who's doing poorly?
We're also going to navigate through what's been a busy offseason so far for the Toronto Raptors.
To say the least. This has been kind of an unprecedented Toronto Raptors offseason, no?
Yeah, and I don't think we're close to done yet is the crazy part.
What position do you play?
Power forward.
Oh, yeah. Good, because we need one.
Exactly.
Get in there. All right, lace them up, Dave Zarum.
Messiah call after this. Let them know that I'm available.
All right, cool.
If the price is right.
You can touch the rim, right? This is we've established this. Like, well, grab. Like,
2 weeks ago, I could.
Yeah,
I don't
two
know.
Weeks. I don't know.
I haven't tried lately.
Not training. I don't know. I see you in the ball shorts today drinking the Nestle water. Like, you're ready. I think you're good to go.
This is my audition.
So where do we start? Because there's so much.
Well, okay, here's what I want to do. There is a lot to go through. I want to talk Raptors first because that's most pressing. The way we'll do this is we'll take each of the new pieces that the Raptors got and let's make a little list. You like making lists?
I love lists.
So let's do like a pro con for the guys who came in and let's try to basically figure out where the Raptors are at after basically executing like a 6-player trade in a way, right? We got three big pieces going out, three new pieces coming in. So let's look at the new pieces coming in, you know, from every angle. Who do you want to start with? How about the biggest one?
Of course. Let's start with the big fish.
First of all, speaking of the big fish, Damari Carroll, a guest on today's show. So he's coming up in a bit. I spoke
kind of
to
buried
him yesterday.
The lead there a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I forgot until you brought it up. So wait
cool,
for
dude.
That. That's coming up. Yeah. Good chat with Damari Carroll. But let's talk about him in a Raptors uniform, what he's going to bring. You want to start with the pros? It seems pretty apparent to me, but.
Well, I think the number one pro is that the Raptors were one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA last year, and they're bringing in a guy who. Probably his best asset is being a solid wing defender that can also have the strength to guard guys inside as well. So he's a very much a guy that you can put and guard multiple positions, which the Raptors really didn't lack. The difference between him and a James Johnson is that the other pro is this guy can actually shoot. Almost shot 40% from three last season. And, you know, I don't think there's any reason to believe that or not believe that he can't improve in that area. He's continued to improve basically his entire career. So in terms of a spot-up shooter in the corner and somebody that can play defense, the 3-and-D guy that's being populated throughout the NBA right now, the Raptors got a really good one.
I mean, we sat here during the playoffs when Atlanta was in the playoffs and just kind of briefly, we were looking ahead to what the free agent landscape might look like. And I think both of us said, I know I said it, number one on my wish list for the Raptors is Damari Carroll.
Yeah, you and I think we both thought it was kind of unrealistic at that point. We thought that, I think it was more realistic that Paul Millsap left to chase big dollars and that Damari was going to get a contract back with Atlanta. I don't think anybody could have foreseen 60 million bucks over 4 years.
For Carroll, yeah.
Like,
but, you know, I think, again, it goes back to the money thing we were talking about. You're going to see that contract is going to be decent in a year or two if Carroll even just plays the same as we're used to. You know, the number, something like right now, it takes up 25% of the cap, 22% of the cap, I believe, of the current Raptors cap. Right. Next year, 2 years from now, that salary takes up 9% of your cap.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a pretty solid deal for a guy who you're a starting small forward who brings, like you said, we're talking pros. It's that wing defense, shooting ability. How about the ability to move the ball, playing in that Hawks system as a facilitator, something that the Raptors really needed offensively last year?
Well, you look at the Hawks last year, right? They were one of, I think they, what, they were second in the league or first in the league in assist percentages into off of made buckets.
Yeah.
So a guy like that is immediately going to come in with an unselfish attitude, which is a huge pro. I think that one of the big things for the Raptors is if they're going to have that core of Lowry and DeRozan, you have to have players that can play off the ball and who can be unselfish. And that's this guy's MO. And I think that when you come to pros, you're adding another guy who's unselfish, by all accounts, a good locker room presence and a popular guy. So that's a good mix for a team that looked a little bit dysfunctional at the end of the season. And there were whispers that there were problems in that locker room, and maybe that's why there was a little bit more turnover than maybe some people expected.
And Carroll said before that, you know, he's a guy who wants to take it upon himself to be that voice in the locker room.
Yeah.
And if you're going to pay a guy $60 million, you know, hopefully he does bring that dynamic as well.
And yeah, the Hawks were first last year in assist percentage. Almost 68% of their baskets assisted on. So that's a good thing for Carroll. I think the one thing
let's talk about cons.
Yeah, here's the number one con is that he doesn't create his own shot. This isn't a guy that is going to be able to, you're not going to be able to put DeMar or Kyle on the bench and be like, okay, well, we're going to facilitate the offense through DeMarre Carroll.
No, a lot of his offense came by virtue of the fact that Kyle Korver was drawing double teams or Jeff Teague was able to get to the basket and draw defenses.
I'm a big fan of the starters. Trey Kirby had an excellent stat. Over 82% of Carroll's field goals were assisted last season.
Yeah.
That's most.
Just saying.
That's the majority. The dude gets his baskets from spot open threes, making great basket cuts, and leaking out in transition. That's what you're going to see from this guy mostly. So when the offense starts to stagnate, like as it has in Toronto, he's not a guy that's really going to help too much with that, especially as an option if Kyle or DeMar comes up.
The other con, and you got to bring it up, although as far as character goes, I don't think it's a huge concern for this guy specifically, but the contract year thing. You know, performing great in a contract year, you always got to be a little dubious.
Listen, I'll say this right now. I don't think there's any way that Carroll maintains the level of play he had in the playoffs before that Cavs series.
Well, in the playoffs, he was at, like last year, he averaged like 12-something points. In the playoffs, he was averaging 17 in the playoffs.
Yeah. So he was a completely different player. He might have been, a lot of people made the case that he was the Hawks' best player in the playoffs. And that had to do with something, a little bit of Teague being injured, Korver being injured. But the guy was a beast. Like, he was an absolute animal, like, on both ends of the floor. And you're looking at that.
I think you can realistically expect, like, 15, 14. I wouldn't be surprised.
That's not out of the realm of possibility, I don't think. But again, it all depends on what the Raptors do at the floor and what they, and what happens with the future of Jonas Valanciunas. I feel like that's really important looking forward at this franchise in terms of, can this guy make a leap and establish himself as a scorer inside? So, DeMarre Carroll, though, we overall like it?
Well, yeah, I don't. What's not to like?
I think there's
this,
more.
This is the number one target. We got him.
We like more. Yeah, he's the Raptors' number one guy. He fits a ton of needs. The contract's not that bad, as you mentioned, going forward.
I like the fit on the court. I like it off the court. Yeah. I like everything about it. I even like the money. I have no problem with the $60 million.
So we're going to go with multiple pros to basically just like no even real cons. Like the Raptors didn't sign him to score off the
bench. Contract thing is real because you never know how a guy's going to perform after getting paid.
Sure.
There's such a huge history of guys underperforming. Again, personally, I don't see it happening with this guy. I think he's going to continue what we saw from him last season, but it's always a concern. And like you said, the offensive game, he's not a guy who you can put the ball in his hands and get buckets.
Right.
So there are real cons, but mostly pros. Moving on to the next one. This is one that I think we're a little divided on. Bismack Biyombo.
Love it.
The center, backup center signed to a nice deal. He's getting paid $3 million a year.
Oh, that's so.
For what, 2 years?
So I'm still a sucker for the old school contract where it's like, hey, give me something that still looks good in this cap.
There you go.
Hey-oh, this looks great in this cap. I love this contract. When I first saw it, I was out playing basketball with a buddy of mine, and we both looked at each other and we were just like, who is his agent? Like, who failed him so egregiously that this ended up happening? Listen, I'll start with the pros of this guy. Again, we actually, you know what? Scratch that. I'll start with the cons. The guy can't score.
It's not just that he can't score. He can't
shoot. He can't distribute. He turns the ball over.
To say that he's lost on offense is an understatement. Yes. It's like he's like buried under the court somewhere. Yes. Like he's just not a factor whatsoever on that end of the floor. In fact, he's like a major liability.
And somehow he turns the ball over like 16% of the time he touches the ball.
Like I'm actually not a huge Bismack Biyombo fan.
Okay.
I understand what he brings, and it's something, again, Philly needs for this Raptors team. Rim protector. Okay, we're talking pros. A guy who protects the rim, shot blocker, rebounder, solid, guy who defends space better than a guy like Valanciunas.
He's a guy that's 6'9" with a 7'6" wingspan. He immediately upgrades their pick and roll defense. Like, you think about how badly they got barbecued by John Wall and Marcin Gortat last season.
Yeah, this is a guy who you parked down there.
This is all of a sudden you're going to have Corey Joseph and Bismack Biyombo defending the pick and roll next season.
But that brings me to a con, which is that I don't think Biyombo is a guy who you can keep on the floor for very long. I think he's that much of a liability in other areas of his game.
But I don't think, so here's the thing.
If he's playing more than 15 minutes, that's a problem.
That's fair-ish. It's a matchup situation, right? Like, that's the new NBA. Like, you have to have roster flexibility, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But the things I love about Biyombo is that he fits just immediate holes across the board for the Raptors. They don't need him to come in and be a scorer. They just need to know inside an established team. This guy is going to be a fan favorite on the defensive end. He blocks just about 2 a game, and that's starting quite a bit more than he's going to see. He played more minutes last season than he's going to play this year for the Raptors. I don't think there's any question about that.
He should not be as big a part of this Raptors team as he was for the Hornets.
He was a bigger part of that Hornets team because they had injuries. Yeah, the Bobcats because they had the Horn Bobnicats because they had injuries. That being said, I'm just a big fan of this guy. Like, I think that they need a big man that can defend pick and roll. They need that guy that can spell out. He can play the 4. He can play the 5. Yes, he's undersized at the 5. But he's strong enough to play the position.
And he has started like 60-plus games.
That's what I mean. He's got some NBA experience. And here's the other thing, too. It's like, you don't need to be able to shoot. You don't have to have every single guy that can shoot the ball. Look at what DeAndre Jordan does. I'm not saying that he's DeAndre Jordan, but he's a freak athlete. And he's somebody that in the pick and roll with someone like Kyle Lowry, with someone like Corey Joseph, and hopefully someone like DeLon Wright, can at least finish lobs at the bucket. And if he can do that,
yeah, he'll be a finisher around the basket.
That's what I mean. If he can just finish some lobs, then that's all the offense you need from this guy.
The DeAndre Jordan like comp is wildly unfair because this guy's not anywhere close to that.
All I'm saying is that you don't need to be a shooter. You don't need to be a stretch guy in the NBA. You just need to be able to sometimes be a guy who knows his role and finishes lobs. And in this case, I think he fits in next to both forwards that the Raptors still have on their team. I think you can put him next to Patterson and that's okay. And I think you can put him next to JV and they'll fit as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't even, yeah, my thing's like, cool. It's a good signing. It's a nice little piece. I don't expect too much from him, but he definitely won't hurt. If, like you're saying, he's got his set role, his 12 minutes a game to do it or to play the matchups. But I don't want to be relying on Bismack Biyombo a whole lot personally. However, that being said, the next guy, Corey Joseph, Toronto's own.
I think we're split on this too.
This is a guy who I'm cool with. I'm good with playing minutes to Corey Joseph. I love what he brings. Let's go right to the pros. Again, defense. Masai's clearly he's got D on the mind when he's in the offseason here. That's
sounded pretty terrible.
Sorry,
but
defense. He's all into defense.
He's all into defense. Defense. Here's the only thing for me is, do you think that the Raptors are being a little too knee jerk in terms of their need for defense? In terms of sacrificing offense,
it couldn't be more like a dramatic, like flip of the.
That's
what
I mean. So, you know, you set a franchise record for wins last season. Yes, you have an ugly playoff loss. I think it was very apparent to anybody that watched this team, especially in the second half of the season, that there was big holes and that one of those biggest needs was perimeter and interior defense.
Hold on. Let's do the pros and cons first because I like where you're going with this. But for Corey Joseph, just to kind of get an idea of his game and what he's going to bring. The perimeter defense is there. I don't think he's an elite perimeter defender at the point guard position, but he's just solid. And when you consider him versus Vasquez, you do?
Yeah, I do.
Cool.
He's a guy that, they play him against the Thunder, and he's the one guy in the league who I watch play Russell Westbrook, and he can actually match up and keep
so that's
corral
pretty,
him a little. I think he's a very, very good defender.
That's pretty substantial. You mentioned a guy like John Wall carving this team up. Would be nice to sick someone like Corey Joseph on
Well,
him.
You just look at, and we mentioned this a little bit with DeLon Wright last week on the pod. Like, you look at the point guards that the Raptors are going to have to face at the top of the East.
Yeah.
And there are teams that love to play that ISO and that pick and roll and that pick and pop. You want to have someone that's going to slow down Kyrie Irving, you better have a guy like Corey Joseph. You want to slow down John Wall, you better have a Corey Joseph or a DeLon Wright, hopefully.
There are also pros to Corey Joseph's offensive game, I believe. He can get to the basket really well himself. We were showing on sportsnet.ca on Monday the drive and the dunk he had, the poster dunk on Serge Ibaka. So he can get up. It might be rare, but he can get up. Also, he's a solid shooter. I think offensively is where the biggest strides he has to make are. That being said, with more minutes, I think it's expected for him to improve.
So he's 23 years old.
Yeah, he's the same age as DeLon Wright.
Yeah, so that's... Which is great. That's great to hear. You have to look at this as an upside signing. There's no way that they're giving him... The biggest con in this entire deal is that you're giving Corey Joseph $30 million.
Again.
Like, it's all so much money. Again, we know we're going over the cap, but that's a lot of dough for a guy that made, what, two last season?
But he's pretty much making, like, $4 million, according to my arbutory math.
Even $4 million for this guy at what you've seen. So if you look at
his contract is actually $7.5 million a year, but you, I'm just trying to put it into context.
Totally. You look at the Spurs last season, and guys are like, hey, he's a Popovich guy. He's a Popovich guy. How many guards did they have that were better than Corey Joseph and that took minutes from him? Mm-hmm. Like, there's four. So he's the fifth best guard on the Spurs team. And you just made him you're basically saying that you think that he's going to get better. And I think that Michael Grange had a great piece on Corey Joseph that outlined a little bit what he's going to be doing. It's on sportsnet.ca. And basically was saying that the 14 games he started in San Antonio, while Parker was injured, Joseph shot 56% from the floor, 44% from deep, and averaged 13-5. And that's rebounds, actually. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what you're hoping for. You're hoping that this guy can take a leap as a player and that he can continue to develop and be a guy that can, A, shoot the three, and B, still get to the rim and score.
All three of these moves so far for the Raptors, all three of these guys, you're taking a bit of a leap, and you're hoping that it's, the progression continues for all these guys.
I think they know that with Biombo and with Carroll, what they're getting themselves into. With Carroll, you're hoping that, maybe he improves his three-point stroke a little bit, but you're not really hoping for a drastic change of player. You're not hoping all of a sudden...
No, but you're hoping that his year-by-year improvement keeps going for at least a couple years. Biombo, you're hoping he can start to kind of figure it out a little bit more than what we've seen before.
Well, you're mostly hoping he can lower his fouls and turnover rates. Those are the big things with Biombo.
And then Joseph, you're also hoping that he just kind of keeps getting better year by year by year.
Yeah, he's the guy,
They're not
though.
Getting anybody who's at their prime. I guess you can make the argument for Carroll. But even still, Carroll, he's a bit of a mystery, the more I think about it.
Sure. I think, though, that really, when you're looking at these guys in terms of upside signings, this is the number one.
Who, this, Joseph?
Joseph. Yeah. I don't think it's very close. Like you said, he's still very young. He's getting a big-time contract. He's coming home. To me, that a pro is that he's Canadian from the standpoint of the
Huge
fans
pro,
are going to
yeah.
love him. But it's also could turn into a con for him playing in front of his hometown crowd every single night, and hopefully that pressure doesn't get to him.
But he's a guy who kind of revels in that.
I hope so. I hope so. Because, I hate to go cross sport here, but you saw what this city does to a lot of the Toronto Maple Leafs. A lot of the Toronto-born kids just can't hack it
in
this market.
That's such a cancerous environment.
Totally. There's a lot of differences between the two. I'm just saying that sometimes the pressure of playing at home can get to you a little bit. And we'll see if that ends up happening. I mean, if you're LeBron James, not much.
So listen, you were talking about it before. The team basically just did a complete 180 offense for defense. There's some concerns now. You're a much better defensive team. I don't think Ujiri is done, but there are concerns now that your big strength scoring, especially off the bench, is just completely gone now from this team. I don't think they're going to have a problem scoring because a guy like DeRozan, I think he's going to get even better. Lowry's going to put it together again. You're going to have Valanciunas find himself a little bit more. And those are three guys who can get major, who can really run an offense for you. But it's when you go to that second unit, losing a guy like Vasquez, losing a guy like Lou Williams, it becomes a huge issue.
Yeah, the thing is that...
Especially because, you know, okay, let's talk about really quick and then I want to go to the break. Really quick, what this team lost and what it still needs. Because it still needs a power forward. Because right now, what?
Well, the first thing, though, is that the team being overreactionary. The calling card of this team last year was that they kind of had a deep bench. And not kind of. They did have a deep bench. That was their identity. We knew that they had two units that could come in and score. Now you look at it and it's like, who's the guy that they're going to have that's going to come in off the bench and provide something?
Well, we know who it's not going to be. It's not going to be Lou Williams.
We know it's not going to be Lou Williams.
Ooh, no, baby, please don't go.
We had good times, Lou. We could have played Six Man there, too. There could have been a lot of things.
What, the Drake song?
The Drake song,
no,
yes.
Thank you.
Of course.
I'll pass.
You prefer Chicago?
I'll gladly pass.
We talked about Chicago or Boston? Better band.
Chicago, just for 25
I got
or 64.
Boston. More than a feeling is the number
but
one.
But you lose Lou Williams. That's your bench scoring. Also, if you right now, that's why I think Ujiri's not done. But right now, Patrick Patterson's your starting power forward. He's the guy who you need coming off the bench to provide that kind of spark. I mean, that's how I feel anyways.
So you think that now you're like Patrick Patterson is going to be the primary offense off the bench? Right now, he's penciled in as a starter, and I think he starts day one of the season.
Well, again, I don't think Ujiri's done. I think he's going to try to
get a power
forward.
I don't think he's done
either. Can I toss a name out your way as far as power forwards go?
Of course.
Granted, he thinks he's way better than he is and therefore probably won't sign for super cheap.
So, like, he's an NBA player. Super cheap. So, go on.
Amari Stoudemire.
No. Boo!
I want to see this happen. I want to see this happen.
You know what I don't want to see is that apparently the Raptors are talking to Carlos Boozer. I have no interest in that.
I saw Boozer and I was like, well, I'd much rather Stoudemire if we're going to go down that road.
See, I don't want either of those guys. I'd rather they try to make a way to do a trade. The only problem is that we've talked about this before.
Well, you want Taj Gibson.
Oh, God, I want Taj Gibson.
Yeah, but they don't have any pieces to trade
anymore.
That's
the problem is that
Terrence Ross's value has plummeted.
They could package the first and they could find a way to do
They do have picks, but I mean, I don't.
Do you really want to sacrifice
Chicago,
picks?
But, and also, what does Chicago have to gain by stockpiling some picks for
Oh, I think Chicago would be interested. They just added another forward in the draft. They're deep at that position now. I know Noah's an injury-prone guy.
Who'd they get? Oh, yeah, Bobby Portis.
Bobby Portis.
Yeah.
So now you've got Mirotić, you've got Portis, you've got McDermott, you've got Noah, you got Pau. That's a lot of minutes to be distributed around there. You don't know if Taj's going to be a really happy camper. So maybe you try to go out and acquire that guy. I just think he would be great. Again, a guy that fits a lot of needs and that can be flexible playing with whoever you want to put in the front court. So that would be ideal for me. But no, I honestly, right now, I think Patterson starts. I think he's earned it. He's kind of made it clear that he wants to start.
Listen, I'm totally cool if he ends up being the starter. I just think he has more value for you off the bench the way the team's currently constructed.
The big bench guy for me now, looking at it, is can he take a step? Can he be a guy? Is Terrence Ross.
It has
Terrence
to
Ross has to be the guy that comes off the bench as the sixth man and can provide some scoring. The guy's got to figure it out between his ears and find a way to not get so rattled whenever he starts missing a bunch of shots at the end of the game and figure it out. He's got to start getting to the
rim. I just figured out who's going to get all the bench buckets.
Well, said you were going to sign with the...
Obviously. I'll be honest, though, I think it might be a bit of a long shot, me going on the team. But the guy's going to score off the bench, Luke Ridenour. Are you kidding me?
I think Luke Ridenour still gets moved. Masai Ujiri has until Sunday to move Luke Ridenour. I think that he's somebody that he packages in a deal trying to add one of those forwards that we were talking about. So is this Raptors team better than what you thought or than last year's team at this point?
When you look at that goal of advancing around in the playoffs, yes. Yes. They're better built for playoff basketball right now. You know, who knows how it reflects in their regular season record, but they're better positioned to advance around right now. I believe that.
So I'm undecided. I know that's kind of a weak answer.
That's riveting radio.
I know, but this is the one thing I'll say that I really like, is they have a lot more roster flexibility. You looked at what the Warriors did last season to win the title, and it's the fact that they could throw multiple lineups at you. I think that adding Carroll, adding Joseph, adding Biyombo, those are three guys that can all play multiple positions, and they can all help you give different looks in your rotation.
Yeah, Carroll's a huge pickup.
So I just like... you can go now play Joseph and Kyle at the two, at the one and two. Mm-hmm. You can put DeMar at the three, Carroll at the four, and even maybe Patterson or JV at the five. I just think that you can do so many different things with these guys that you couldn't kind of do with the other group because they were just such defensive liabilities that, okay, you know what? I'll say it. I think they're a little better. I'll change my answer from undecided to a little better. But I am concerned about the lack of secondary scoring. We did see times where the Raptors offense stagnated. And a lot of times Lou was that just that guy that came in. Hey, rough night, throw Lou in there. All of a sudden, drop of a hat, $20 million. And really, my biggest con of the entire Raptors offseason so far has been watching Lou Williams go to the Lakers for $21 million over 3 years. I thought that was a bargain for a guy of that caliber.
We'll talk Lou Williams to the Lakers a little bit later on. Right now, you know, we've been talking about Damari Carroll a lot. So let's get right to it. You know, I spoke to him yesterday. Raptors fans are going to know him, I guess, as the Junkyard Dog 2.0. That's the nickname he seems to be pushing a lot.
I'm not getting behind that, yo.
I don't know how into that I am. And frankly, also, we all know he's technically the Junkyard Dog 3.0 because the original Junkyard Dog is the wrestler, the Junkyard Dog from the 80s.
Who I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, which is pathetic. Yeah. But obviously, JYD, the first Junkyard Dog. Now we got Junkyard Dog 2.0. But the guy's more than just a nickname. So let's get to it right now. Damari Carroll coming up here on Free Association.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
Welcome to Free Association. Joining us on the phone right now is the new Junkyard Dog. That's right, Junkyard Dog 2.0. But first of all, congratulations is in order. Congratulations, man, signing a four-year deal with the Toronto Raptors.
I'm really excited about it, man. I think the program is heading in a great direction. You know, it's already a winning program. I think that's the best thing about Toronto is they're already heading in a great direction, and the fans are even better. So I just want to go out there, man, and try to help this franchise get past the first round.
For sure. Like you mentioned, I mean, it's a winning team you're joining, an organization heading in the right direction. But that said, I mean, they had a ton of needs to fill, and you fill those. I mean, toughness, shooting from deep, something you've really developed over the years. What do you think is the biggest thing you bring to the fold?
I just think my blue-collar grit grind, you know, you know, I think I'm a great leader in the locker room, and I bring that energy every night. It's 82 games. That's a lot of games. So my main goal is to try to keep my teammates upbeat. And, you know, some games they might lack the energy and they're going to need somebody to pick them up.
And also, I mean, if someone from the coaching staff goes down, you can step in behind the bench too, right? Don't you have some coaching experience?
Yeah, I got some coaching experience from I coached a couple summer leagues last year, so I got a little bit of coaching experience, so, you know, one of the coaches though now, hopefully I could be a coach on the floor.
Yeah, hopefully that came up in the contract negotiations for you.
Nah.
You know, you mentioned Casey and fitting in. You know, he's apparently mentioned wanting to give you a little bit of a bigger role in the offense. Is that something that you guys spoke about when you met, or is that a little bit down the line?
Yeah, he kind of spoke to me, but briefly. I know when I get there and we get ready to start training camp, you know, he's going to elaborate more, but he just said he wanted me to have a bigger role offensively. But, you know, he knows I'm going to bring it defensively, but he wanted me to have a bigger role offensively. So, you know, I'm going to take baby steps, man. I'm going to keep trying to get better, keep doing what I've been doing, keep trying to develop my game. And hopefully, you know, I can help this team in a major way.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned getting better because, you know, every player – or it should be like this for every player, but every player uses their summer to get better. And I know last season I heard you were talking about finding ways to become a bigger offensive threat as well as what you bring on defense with Atlanta. And you said you were watching tapes of the way Kawhi Leonard gets his points in San Antonio. When you look at this coming summer, I guess we're in the middle of it. When you look at this summer, what's the next step for your development?
I think just keep getting better. Shooting the ball, I want to be automatic. You know, I've been, like I said last year, I wanted to be the African-American Kyle Korver, but, you know, I think I want to keep getting better, man, keep trying to shoot the ball more consistently, get up in that 40% range and, mm-hmm. you know, work on my ball handling more on pick and rolls. Mm-hmm. And just continue to keep getting better, man, as a player. I don't want to sell myself short because I feel like if you put the work in, you're only going to get better.
No question. That's well said. You mentioned Kyle Korver. I mean, what's the deal with that guy? Like, what's his secret? Did you pick up on that?
I try, man. But Kyle, every time we have a shooting drill, he always beat me. You know, you can only miss one shot shooting with that guy.
Yeah.
So I think he just, you know, he takes his shooting serious when he's out playing around with guys. He's shooting the same way he's shooting the game. He never shoots, you know, like he wants shooting the game. As you see, a lot mm-hmm. of people might just be shooting, throwing their hands up, bringing their hands down. He shoots the same way every time. So I think that's his secret, man. He just tried to tell me to shoot the same way no matter what, no matter when I'm shooting or how long I'm shooting.
Now I got a couple questions about kind of your, you know, your background, how you got here, how you got to be, you know, the $60 million man. But first, just going quickly back to the kind of your decision with joining the Raptors. I know you've talked about it a lot, but you know, I'm thinking when you're in a room with a guy like Masai Ujiri and Dwayne Casey too, but specifically a guy like Masai who is famous, for lack of a better word, for saying stuff like, you know, Brooklyn, or we don't give a shit about it, and that kind of stuff. I mean, that has to leave some kind of impression on a player, even if you're not on his team when you hear that, right?
Oh, yeah. It's your general manager going to bat for you, knowing yeah. that he's in a battle along with you. And, you know, he's just as competitive as you. So that kind of gives you a lot of motivation, a lot of self-esteem to go out there and try to perform on the court at a high level. So when your general manager is really adamant, mm-hmm. like he is, I think that only helps your confidence more.
And then you look at your coach, Dwayne Casey. He said he had a man crush on you. It seems like a pretty ideal fit of player and coach. What did you know about Casey before you met with him?
I always knew he was a hard core guy, mm-hmm. defensive-minded coach, blue-collar-minded coach. But, you know, he always, you know, nitty-gritty type coach. So that just really, you know, I really fell in love with him when he walked in my house. And, you know, he started naming players, and the players he really kind of named was blue-collar guys mm-hmm. like myself. So it just made me feel like I was at home, like I was going back playing for my uncle. Huh. Coach Mike, yeah. Mike Anderson, right. The one that coached at the University of Arkansas.
That's right. And Missouri as well, right?
Yep. I played with him at Missouri.
So, you know, I think, you know, I was mentioning your backstory a bit. I think a lot of Raptors fans and just basketball fans in Canada in general, they're learning more about you now that they know that you're going to be a part of the team. And the kind of familiar things come up, you know, 5 teams in 5 years, your experience in the D-League, being at the end of a bench, just kind of waiting for your opportunity to break in and then seizing that, I guess, in Utah mostly, and also obviously in Atlanta. But I want to ask you about, you know, what may be a bit of an overlooked moment in your kind of climb to where you are today. And that's a summer I was just reading about, a summer you spent playing pickup in Reseda at the, what's it called, the 360 Health Club. Does this ring a bell?
Yep.
Yeah, what can you tell me about that?
I think that was when I kind of took that jump. And I didn't only take that jump physically, but I think I took that jump mentally. Mm. And I realized that I could play at a high level. Because I was in there playing against guys like Paul Pierce when Paul Pierce was Paul Pierce, or Kevin Garnett, Paul
George. Don't say that to Paul Pierce, by the way.
Yeah, Danny Granger.
Okay.
The list goes on. Tyson Chandler. It was Elton Brand. So I think then I realized that I could play at a high level with these guys when I was in there. And basically, you know, I was playing at a high level. And Paul Pierce and KG was like, we're going to have to go back to Danny Ainge and kind of, you know, talk to him about you. And, because we really needed your toughness on our team.
Yeah.
I think that gave me the utmost confidence, and ever since then, I've been hitting the ground running.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you feel like it confirms that you belong, right?
Yep. When those guys, when, you know, Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers, make those comments, it really makes you feel like you belong.
Yeah, no question. You know, so overcoming seems to be kind of a familiar term when we talk about kind of your path to where you are today. And I want to talk about it's called the Carroll Family Foundation, which is your nonprofit organization that focuses on pediatric liver disease. I want to talk about that shortly because I think that's really powerful stuff that you're doing there. But one thing I think Raptors fans would love to know about you is, you know, everyone has their little rituals and things like that. And you've got a certain, ritual whenever you check in games, a way to honor your older brother, Delonte, was it? Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, my older brother, Delonte, he passed when I was younger. He passed from a brain tumor. And it was one of those things that, you know, he really meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. He always wanted to play the game of basketball at a high level. And he really kind of taught me when I was younger how to play the game. So whenever I check in a game, I draw a heart and blow a kiss to him just to let him know that I'm not the only person going in this game. He's going in this game too. So it's just wow, something I've been doing ever since he passed. So I think it's helpful for me and my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. And I mean, going through something like that, obviously it's incredibly painful and whatnot. But I'd have to think it's shaped you and the way you go about your business, the way you go about your life in the years since, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, it just makes me realize that you can't take this thing for granted. You can't take life for granted. So you know, that's why every time I go into a game, I play like it's my last, because I don't take no game for granted. And I realize, you know, your life could be taken from me any day.
Now you also, I mentioned the Carroll Family Foundation. That's fairly new, is it not? Can you tell me about that and how you came to be involved? I know it's another one where you were involved personally before the foundation was.
It just got started 3 months ago. And, you know, basically, I just felt like it was a cause that I really wanted to bring awareness to people about the liver, because you hear so much about the heart and so much about the kidney, mm-hmm. but you never hear about the liver. So I just felt like, you know, the liver is just as important as the kidney and the heart, so I wanted to bring awareness. And I think pediatric liver disease is probably big in the world, so I just wanted to help kids out and let people know that you can be successful with a liver condition. You just got to have the right mind. You have to be there mentally, and you have to keep your body there physically.
Now, if you're listening to this, chances are you're probably in Canada. But if by any chance you're heading stateside later this month, Damari has three basketball camps. I'll let you know about July 21st to 23rd in Columbia, Missouri, July 25th, Birmingham, Alabama, July 29th to 31st in Atlanta. Now, listen, Damari, I really appreciate you taking the time. Everything you're saying, everything you bring, obviously going to be a huge fan favorite for the Raptors. And I got to say, happy belated 4th of July.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we always keep an eye out up here. You're on Twitter and Instagram and everything, showing off your grill game this past weekend. So we've learned a lot about your basketball game. Let me close that on this note. What can you tell us about your barbecue game?
I'm probably one of the best barbecue individuals in the United States right now.
And humble, too.
Yeah, I'm very humble about this. But, you know, I'm very underrated. A lot of people try to ask me to grill for them, but I only grill on the 4th of July. I don't grill no other time. I let my cousin them grill the other times. I just grill the 4th of July. And as you see, as you looked at the picture, check my Instagram out at Damari Carroll 1, and you will see that the ribs look absolutely delicious.
There you go. On the grill and on the court, it's a clutch performer. July 4th only. Listen, man, I really appreciate you taking the time here. Best of luck in a Raptors uniform. We'll be catching a lot of you next season and beyond.
All right. Thank you, brother.
This is Tracy Murray from your Toronto Raptors, and you listen to Free Association. In reality, I'm
just an average Joe with a simple life, no American idol. All right, you're listening to Free Association. Thanks again to Damari Carroll. Much appreciated. Always an interesting.
Quickly again, yeah. Like, Dave Zarem has had to fill in a few interviews on the show now. I'm in the middle of my show.
It's not filling
show.
In.
He's not filling in, sorry. But he's taking...
This is my job.
He's grabbing it all by himself. He's taking it completely on his own. I've just bailed on him now. Like, I don't even know how many interviews that I've missed at this point.
It's hard to imagine I get up and feed myself and get through my day without you, JD.
I know. I'm kind of surprised by that, too. I do usually help you put your pants on. That's kind of my... That's my niche. That's my role. That's where I'm
at.
That's
your role on this team.
That's my role. Dave Zarem's pants guy. No, but good job by you. Good job, Dave Zarem.
Yeah, man.
You did it without me somehow. Don't get too comfortable with that.
You know what we have to do, though? I was thinking during that thing, we need to set up a barbecue cook-off between our two friends of the show now, Damari Carroll and Charles Oakley.
No.
Two guys who talk a big game about their barbecue.
Oak, I never said that. I never said that. I would never talk trash about your cook-off game. I know you're better.
I wasn't talking trash. I'm just saying, back it up. Put it up against another guy who thinks his game's pretty good.
You know who I think could have a cook-off with Charles Oakley? Bobby Flay.
No, I take Oakley all day.
That's what I'm saying. Those are the types of guys that have to step up to the dish mess with the Chef Oakley.
I don't dig on no Flay.
I'm not just getting some guy who's like does a once a year barbecue and saying that he's going to take on Charles Oakley. No thanks. New challenger.
Okay, so Carroll was the marquee signing for the Raptors this offseason, but he was hardly the only marquee signing league-wide. I mean, it was a pretty unbelievable free agent run that's not technically over, but all the major pieces have fallen. That being said, I think LeBron James still is out there.
True story.
True story indeed.
Love this.
It was a crazy, crazy free agency. I want to get into it. In a few different ways.
Okay, it's been so crazy. It's been so crazy. It's something that I have liked to dub Fire Agency! Oh! Oh, it's too hot! Oh, it's too hot! All of mine's too hot! So much is happening. It's just a red-hot summer. I didn't even see any of this. Like, this type of movement, too hot. Emil, give me some bass. Like, I need some bass. No. My bass. Yes. Oh. It's a cruel summer if you're not a Spurs fan. If you don't like the Spurs, it's a cruel summer for you. Gonna be a long season, Mavs fans, although they did pretty good too. But so we wanted to, Dave and I are talking yesterday about how we're going to go over some of these teams. We're not going to go over every single team, but we are going to go over who we really liked and who we really didn't like with a few star ratings. So let me start that off by talking about the Spurs.
Wait. Let's just set up a little bit more just so I'm clear on what we're doing here. You want like 5 stars? We're just going to give 5, 4, 3, 2, 1?
I'm going to give 5 stars to my favorite moves, my 4 stars to my second.
Gotcha.
3 to a mediocre team.
All right.
2 to a bad. And then nowhere 1, whichever you'd like to do.
Okay.
So let me start.
I don't want to double up. So yeah, why don't you go first?
Sure.
You do your 5-star.
I'll do my 5-star, which is the San Antonio Spurs.
Of course.
It's so hot in San Antonio that David West lit $11 million on fire. He turned down a player option that would have paid him over $12 million to take the veteran minimum in San Antonio. That's how ridiculously good this franchise is. That they can attract guys like, imagine David West signed in Toronto tomorrow, how happy we'd be. He's like the fourth forward in San Antonio. I don't even know where he's going to play, but they're just like, screw it, Adam. Let's get him on the squad.
But yeah, I mean, re-signing Leonard, the Danny Green deal.
The Danny Green deal is absurdly good. Absurdly good.
The entire offseason.
We just talked about Damari Carroll.
What's his number? Hold on, I have in front of
me. 4 years, 45.
Okay.
4 years, 45 for Danny, goddamn Green. Compared to 4 years, $60 million for Damari Carroll. Listen, Damari, great dude. Good player. Would trade you for Danny Green in a heartbeat. Wouldn't even hesitate. So, just the Spurs, man. Big Timmy D coming back. Manu just announced last night over Twitter that he's coming back.
Wasn't there another guy? I feel like we're missing somebody.
No, there's no one else. There's no one else. That's it.
Well, hey, Green and Leonard.
Green
solid.
And Leonard. You
and
did
Duncan's
good.
Coming back,
oh,
you know?
What? LaMarcus Aldridge? Spurs!
That's right.
Spurs! Oh, it's unbelievable. Like, what an organization.
LaMarcus Aldridge, he's like a lock for 23 and 12, it seems, almost every season. He's just like a beast on, certainly offensively. The one knock on the Aldridge thing, by the way, is the fact that he's never really won before, but you put him in the playoffs, I'm talking about, but you put him on a team surrounded by like the friggin' Spurs, and I think he's going to figure it out.
I think he's going to be okay. I think that trend's going to change at this point. The one thing I cannot wait to see is him and Tony Parker in the pick and roll, pick and pop.
Yeah, that's right. That's
oh,
right.
Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Like, Boris Diaw is good.
Like, we talk about that Dragic Bosch combo. This is
something else. Level. And just, like, the depth that this team has and the ability to crunch guys under the cap. The big thing here, too, for me is that, and, well, we've got a lot of other stuff to get to, so we'll wrap this up. Spurs are incredible. Big 5 stars. Nobody ever going to debate that. But I think that this might convince Popovich to stay a little bit longer.
Well,
all of a sudden, you've got Kawhi long-term.
He already says he fully plans to coach the rest of like the 5 years on his term.
So that's what I mean.
He's
like,
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Like,
no.
It's just like you've got Aldridge, you've got Kawhi locked up. This is a serious core going forward. The Spurs fans shouldn't be elated.
I mean, if the rich get richer, right?
Oh, they're so rich.
Okay, so let's move to my five-star thing because it follows the same theme, the rich getting richer. This one's super quick, super simple. Actually kind of blew the lead earlier on. It's LeBron James. The way he's playing this offseason, waiting to let the Cavs make all the moves they need to make before he signs his new deal. It's kind of like the anti-Kobe in that respect, although he is kind of looking out for himself.
He's very much looking out for himself in doing it.
But, you know he's got an ear in that organization, bringing Shumpert back, bringing back Thompson. He's still going to get paid, and now they're talking about moving Brendan Haywood's contract for like a Lou Williams type of guy. Or sorry, Jamal Crawford type of guy. So they're not done there. LeBron's going to get paid. His team's going to come back intact and better, and he brought Love back. I just think he's just doing a great job of he's doing what Kobe needs to be doing. He's doing what a franchise guy needs to do.
Which is be the GM. So Donovan Bennett actually made a good point to me the other day before the show. He was just talking about like how LeBron and Cleveland are playing a big game of chicken. LeBron wants them to sign Tristan Thompson at this point.
Exactly.
And Cleveland still hasn't done that. And he was saying, well, what happens if they don't? And I was like, wow, that's an interesting question. And Donovan was just basically saying to me, he's like, the game of chicken is that Cleveland still has that leverage because they're like, we dare you to leave. Like, good luck with your public image, LeBron, if you leave Cleveland a second time, especially after you didn't win a title. So I just thought, interesting thought. Thanks for sharing that with me, DJ.
Yeah, no. Listen, Donovan Bennett, check out sportsnet.ca. He's got a cool piece on Kobe that's going to be out today. This is Tuesday. He's doing great work there.
I'll transition because my four-star is also Cavs related.
Is it Donovan Bennett?
Donovan Bennett's five-star.
Oh.
Four-star, Cavs. Kevin Love.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Like Kevin Love, four-star move for both sides. I think that the contract is good. I think that especially for Kevin Love got crapped on all last season as a guy that was like a totally bad trade. Maybe not the franchise block that we had. Guy was fitting in with a new team. He's an elite player. He's one of the 15 best players in the entire NBA. The Cavs keeping him was vital. Like if they had him and Kyrie in the finals, they very well could have won. I don't think that there's anybody that would even like look at what the Spurs did. The Warriors are still great. The Cavs are still the favorite because the East is still weaker. They have the best path to get there. And they'll still have LeBron freaking James, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving.
Frankly, the one of the best parts about that Love re-signing as well is that this guy's now a great trade chip going forward. I'm just saying. Just throwing that out there.
That's true. You can move that deal.
It is a positive.
I just think that it's a good match for both sides. Like, there was, like, as Kevin Love said in his Players Tribune piece, there's unfinished business. Cleveland sacrificed a lot to get this guy. I think that he recognizes the benefits of playing with a guy like LeBron James long-term and the fact that they have a good chance to win multiple titles. I like the move on both ends. Four stars.
Another four-star deal. I'm kind of torn here. I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Bucks. They came out and shocked everybody by winning the Greg Monroe sweepstakes, and I really think that's going to be a huge signing for them. Also, they did a good job of bringing back Chris Middleton, who was emerging to be a key piece for them. So he's gonna be a big part of it. Middleton and Monroe, guys who fit in with what they need. The Bucks are heading in the right direction. That's an intriguing club. I know their starting lineup is like all under 25, but taking Monroe away from the big markets like L.A., New York, all the places he was rumored to go. Mm-hmm. Also, they dumped the early Ilya Ilyasova.
You can call him what you want.
They dumped his contract to, I'm going to call him Frankenstein. That's what he looks like.
Looks like Frankenstein Josh Hartnett.
There you go.
That's him.
So they moved his contract, which is pretty bad, to Detroit, ironically, a little while ago. And now they get Greg Monroe back. They're just a young team stockpiling nice pieces. That team's going to make some noise in a little while. They're also getting Jabari Parker back. Four stars to the Bucks.
Big fan of that.
Three stars. What's going on, JD?
Three stars? Sacramento Queens.
What?
I had to do it. They get three stars.
What?
Because why? I think it can go either way. Let me explain. So,
you gave the Kings three stars?
I gave the Kings three stars. Let me get my paper out here.
Are you high right now? Like this? No. I don't see this.
Hear me out. They get a bunch of cap space with the Sixers trade. They admit that they blew it with the Stauskas pick. Right? Vivek.
Cocaine
Stauskas?
Is a hell of a drug.
Stauskas? That's over. There's no more Stauskas jokes in Sacramento. Well, there probably are. I really like Kufus. I think he's a very solid piece.
Yeah, he's okay.
Really like that addition. Bellinelli.
How much did they pay Kufos?
He got a pretty reasonable deal. They gave
$33 million 4 years.
Yeah. Nothing absurd at all. Then they go get Bellinelli. Bellinelli gets a deal. He's very good. Good three-point shooter. He's an upgrade from what they wanted from Stauskas.
I guess he is that kind of Stauskas version. I think he's dangerous on a crappy team, though.
Our producer, Emil, buzzing my ear, Italy GQ all day. I don't know what that means, but it was like maybe the douchiest thing I've ever heard.
Bellinelli. Oh, he's Italy GQ all day? Okay, good to know.
Okay, Italy GQ all
day.
All right. Yeah, all right. That's what he's contributing to the show today, people. That's your Emil Delic update, Italy GQ all day. And they had Caspi, who also thrived under George Karl, and another guy who could stretch the floor. We're having a tough time moving past Italy GQ in here. I just like it. And then Rondo, this is the one that kind of scares me.
It's a 1 year deal, is it not?
Yes, but it's
so that's
like
okay.
It's like what's good about that?
The 1 year deal?
Like sure, that they can get
out
of it.
The one good thing is that I don't think it'll play out like this. I think it's gonna play out disastrously. But to put the positive spin on it, the good thing is that it forces Rondo to say, you know, I have to prove myself this year.
Sure, but then
because
if he
there won't
does
be
that,
a $10 million contract waiting for me the third time I screw up.
Okay, here's why it actually scares me. Here's why even the 1 year deal doesn't really do anything for me in this organization. So say Rondo does have a great year. Rondo goes off and lights it up.
Yeah.
No, even worse, he signs long term. And then he fools them. He tricks Vivek.
It really is a lose-lose.
That's what
this
I mean.
This is your three-star team.
Yes. This is my three-star team because there is potential for him to reignite his career and to get things back off the ground. The other reason why they're three stars, and this is probably the most important one, kind of buried the lead, is that amidst all the rumors that Boogie Cousins wanted out and was done with this team, they kept him. They didn't panic trade. They didn't move Boogie. They did moves that were going to appease him. They added a Kentucky guy in the draft. They grabbed a couple of pieces that helped them win now in Caspi and Bellinelli. They added Rajon Rondo, which should help him. He's going to like playing with Rondo. He's basically going to be the anti-Isaiah Thomas that we all know that Boogie struggled to play with. So I'm giving the Kings three stars because I think it could go either way. I think it could be a disaster, or I think it can be good for them.
I just don't see how bringing in a personality like Rondo into that situation.
Does George Karl get to the All-Star break?
Does he get to the start of the season?
Three stars!
My mind's blown right now. So my three-star one, I had a tough time deciding. I was going to go with Patrick Beverley's deal because it is really 4 years, $23 million. That's great for a guy who brings you what he could potentially give you. But I'm going to change it up here. The Hornets trading for Nick Batum. I really like that deal for Charlotte.
Mm.
Batum feels kind of like Carroll on the Raptors. Batum feels a huge need on that wing spot for that team who still got to keep MKG in the process and now have this potential kind of 20-point per game. 18-point per game score.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch MKG and Nick Batum just launch shots and lay bricks
all
night.
It won't be the most efficient bit of offense, but
he's an undervalued guy, though.
But very undervalued. The contract's okay. Portland lost a lot of pieces, but I like what Charlotte's doing.
Portland lost their whole team. They're still a Portland Trailblazers? I thought they were gone. I thought it was just Damian Lillard up there wondering what's going on.
Portland Damians.
Yeah.
But
who's going to play for them next year?
But with the Hornets, they're just stockpiling pieces. They're not going to be great this year, but you know, I like what they're doing, and I like the Batum trade. Okay, what's next? I guess two stars.
Two stars. Later. Now we're starting to get into the nitty-gritty.
Now it gets fun.
The nasty. Okay, I'm going with Reggie Jackson contract. Yuck. 5 years. $80 million, Reggie Jackson. Those things shouldn't go together. That's not a good mix. I understand that he played better when he went to Detroit last year. I didn't like the trade from the beginning because I'm a little biased. But this guy is flat out not a franchise point guard to me. With all the guards that are out there, I think that they downgraded when they made that trade. He's a guy who can't shoot. His shot charts are hideous.
He put up like fantasy numbers late last season. And that's about the best thing that he's going to give you. Because, like, first of all,
he's a fantasy number guy.
Exactly. So you look at the numbers, you say, all right, he was pretty good for them, right? But they didn't win with him in the role as the guy. So now to pay him as the guy, I don't see how that leads to winning down the line. Also, they got Brandon Jennings on the books already. I think he only has one more year, but he's getting paid too.
That's
they'll probably try to move
Jennings
him now.
Coming back from that Achilles injury, which is really tough.
Yeah, so
did you see that list that came out about guys who haven't recovered from Achilles injuries?
Yeah, it looks bad.
It's really bad. But that being said, that's no reason to panic and make Reggie Jackson your guy. You made a bit of a suspect trade. He put up these numbers, but then you're going to give him a deal like that just seems ludicrous to me. I had to double check to make sure whether or not Joe Dumars was still running this franchise. I was like, wait, does Joe have the double cell phones going? This feels like Charlie Villanueva, Ben Gordon 2.0 in terms of a bad offseason.
Exactly, yeah.
It's just like...
And you saw how those contracts hamstrung the Pistons for years.
And this just feels like that.
This will do the same, yeah.
And Reggie Jackson's the kind of player, like, God, not to just destroy this guy and pile on, but who wants to go play with Reggie Jackson? Like, who wants to go play in an organization where it's like, hey, Reggie Jackson's running the point. I'm like, no, thanks.
Yeah.
I'd rather go play with CP3. Like, at least he's good. He's going to yell at me and be a jerk, but at least he's good.
Messiah, I know you're listening, but I could be persuaded Joe Dumars for the right amount of money. I'll happily play with Reggie Jackson. I can be bought is what
you
I'm saying.
You can be bought. We all knew that.
Okay.
That's not news.
Just to confirm.
Give me your two-star.
I hope my boss is listening to this. Okay, so two-star. I kind of want to go with the Wes Matthews signing now that you brought up the Achilles thing. Huge money to the guy for the Mavs.
Dodge bullet for Raptors, I think.
Huge, huge. I'd much rather Carroll just because of the health. Two guys who do similar things. Carroll brings the kind of mental toughness in a way that maybe Matthews doesn't. Also with the Mavs, though, my two-star was going to be the Pacers re-signing Rodney Stuckey because they also signed Monte Ellis, and you don't need both those guys. But
no, you don't, but I like the Monte signing.
But now I'm on to the Mavs. I've changed my mind. The DeAndre Jordan signing and the Wes Matthews signing, this team is giving up huge amounts of money to two guys who, I don't want to say they don't deserve it, but they don't match the dollar figures of their contract in the new cap, in the old cap, in any cap scenario. The Achilles thing is a killer for Wes Matthews. You mentioned it. The guys who come back from that injury, it's almost non-existent.
It is. The list is like startling.
So to pay him like the price for a healthy Matthews doesn't make any sense. DeAndre Jordan is a guy who I really think is wildly, wildly overrated. For him to get max money, I'm not surprised he got that money, but it still doesn't mean that he should have. He's a glorified role player, a one-dimensional player. You got to like the way he runs the pick and roll and whatnot, but they don't have a point guard for him to run that with. So he's going to block some shots and get some rebounds, and you're going to pay him $20-plus million a year to do it. I think you could have spent your money wiser than that.
I love DeAndre. I'm gonna say it right now. I think
we have to go because we're tight on time, but I do want to open this up a little bit. So the talk about DeMar DeRozan wanting a max contract, a couple weeks ago, JD, you know what I'm mm-hmm. talking about?
Yes.
So when that was happening, I was saying I'd rather pay that money to DeMar DeRozan than DeAndre Jordan any day of the week. I think DeRozan is a better player than Jordan, and it's not even close.
I disagree.
And I got an friggin' S-storm for bringing that up.
Yeah, I don't agree with you at all.
DeAndre Jordan on his best day is going to give you 20 rebounds and 10 blocks.
Yes, and how many guys in the league can
do
that?
And he's going to be on the bench.
DeAndre Jordan.
And he's going to be on the bench in crunch time because he can't make his free throws and he's a liability. DeRozan,
that's not even true.
DeMar DeRozan on his best day is going to take over a game, drop 40, and win you the game.
Yeah, on his best day, but on his usual day.
Yeah, I'm talking about Jordan's best day. I'm comparing both of them on their best day. DeRozan gives you more.
I think that, one, DeAndre's more consistent. You can rely on good defense and good rebounding every single night. You cannot rely on mid-range jumpers every single night.
I just don't like paying that kind of money to a guy
who can't score. That's your issue.
Is so one-dimensional. You
can make the case for DeMar DeRozan that he's one-dimensional.
But he's not.
He is. He's not a plus defender.
He's not as one-dimensional as Jordan.
Jordan is not a guy that you need to fill it up, but he's so good finishing around the rim and playing in that pick and roll and finishing lobs and in transition, and he is a good passer, that he's not as one-dimensional as you're making him out to seem. The guy led the league in field goal percentage last year. I know he played
It's because he's finishing those lobs from Chris Paul.
Of course.
So is going to toss on those lobs
yes.
now? Hell no.
Yes, he's what?
Devin Harris?
Yes, he's an athletic freak. He's going to be able to go up and get that. You have no faith in Rick Carlisle being able to make, look what they did with Brendan Wright. Like, Brendan Wright is a good player, and look what he did in that system. Like, he thrived. Love that guy.
It'll work out. It's a huge improvement at the center spot for them.
I don't think that there's a team in the league equal contracts that would trade DeMar DeRozan for DeAndre Jordan. I don't think that it would happen.
You're looking at it.
You'd be the only GM.
Yeah.
You'd be unemployed. You and Joe Dumars. Again, more relations. No, DeAndre's good, man. DeAndre's a unique player.
I'm saying he's good. I'm saying DeRozan's better. I'm saying that Jordan is not a max player. I understand he got that money because freaking Greg Monroe got that money. But I just don't love the signings. My two-star deal. We'll see if I'm right or if I'm wrong after the season. Okay, one star. Let's wrap this up.
Okay, one star. I'm gonna keep this quick. Big markets. Big market teams. These are your big losers. I think that we all
I'm glad you brought this up, by the way.
We all brought this into free agency. We were thinking, oh, Boston's going to have a shot at some guys. Oh, L.A. Oh, isn't LaMarcus Aldridge just a lock to go to L.A.? They drafted D'Angelo Russell. They're going to definitely get him. Oh, the Knicks. The Knicks are going to be in on some guys. You'll be surprised. Phil Jackson. Oh, we brought in Jackson.
The Knicks signed Derek Williams. So
the Knicks signed Derek Williams there. And two of the role players from the Blazers. Way to go, Knicks. And Kylo Quinn looks like he's headed there or maybe already headed there. I think that guys now realize that winning cultures and strong organizations trump being in a fancy market. You can get exposure basically wherever you are. And that's what I said last week when there was the rumors that LaMarcus was going to go to L.A. I was saying, why would he go there? That makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense from a basketball standpoint and from a cultural standpoint. Instead, he makes the right choice and goes to San Antonio. Like, you're going to get your endorsement deals. You're going to make your money. You're going to be known. You're going to go to All-Star games. You're going to get voted in. Winning is the best exposure. Going to the finals, that's the best exposure. Getting deep in the playoffs is the best exposure.
But the big market thing, and we've talked about it before, it's the sponsorship opportunities and whatnot is traditionally the draw. But in today's kind of, not even today's NBA, just today's society, when you think of the internet, NBA League Pass,
yes,
all these things. It doesn't matter where you play. People are going to see you.
People know who you are. And
so you can be in Oklahoma City and you can still get your $700 billion shoe deal.
Emil Delic
to be in New York.
Just is trying to make up for his Bellinelli Italian GQ comment. Emil. He just buzzed in my ear, Matthew Dellavedova. And it's so true. Yeah. Matthew Dellavedova is getting movie deals now.
But he's a
nobody.
Because they went to the finals. They got
Australia.
On that stage. Yeah, yeah.
Going to the finals, has a couple of moments. Everybody knows who he is. Boom, winning. Best thing for you. Not playing in L.A. where you don't win and everything's a train wreck and you get associated as a loser.
Yeah, Phil Jackson, Kobe Bryant not coming out too rosy this summer.
No. Kobe Bryant has chased away basically every single guy that ever even considered
the reports,
L.A.
Like him in that Aldridge thing telling him, oh that's cool. God. You can be like my Pau Gasol.
Oh, you can be my number two. He's like, I'm better than you, Kobe. Like, you got to get with the times, bro. This isn't 2002.
Kobe's going to be a fascinating guy to watch play this
season.
Kobe's
always a fascinating guy. Kobe's Kobe.
Okay, so my one star, it might be a no star. I was going to say Robin Lopez, that's signing for the Knicks. Talk about like a knee-jerk deal, but he could be a serviceable starter, but I don't know. That's your big move in the offseason. But you kind of touched on the failures of the Knicks in your one-star rating. So I'm going to give it to... And this kind of hurts because it is a nice contract. And you mentioned that earlier. But Lou Williams on the Lakers. I do not like this fit at all, especially when they got Nick Young. They have Nick Young, Lou Williams, and Kobe. Like, when the hell is D'Angelo Russell is going to get, like, 0.6
shots
per game?
So the one star is D'Angelo Williams. Like, that's got to be...
D'Angelo Russell?
Or Russell, sorry. His
development...
Man, that sucks for him. He's all fired up. I'm a Laker.
It sucks for anybody on that team. Between Kobe, Nick Young, and Lou Williams, that's like 60 shots a game.
Yeah, you got to think.
No one else is touching the ball on that team. It's just an awkward fit. I mean,
Julius Randle. Poor Julius.
It's another team looking like they needed to do something. So, like, the Lou Williams, it's hard to turn him down at that kind of money. 3 years, $21 million.
Especially when you couldn't land anybody else.
So, like, the signing itself is good. It's just the fit is, I think, terrible. It's good for Lou on the deal. Terrible fit. That's just, like, a poison situation there in L.A.
Quick thought on the Lakers.
Yeah.
I got to get this out.
Yeah.
I like the Roy Williams. Roy Williams would be a good guy to. I want to call everybody Williams now. Roy Hibbert, yes, Roy Hibbert. I like that trade.
Yeah, because
you gave up nothing.
If you have the money to spend on that contract,
yeah.
Why not?
My good buddy, who I referenced on this show before, Josh Goldberg, big Lakers fan, love to troll him, love to chirp him, love to make fun of him.
Nobody cares that your buddy Josh Goldberg listens to the show. You mention it like every week.
It's true, but he's just a big Laker fan. I love trolling him.
That's
These
good
are good
for
times.
Josh Goldberg.
Good for him. Look at how many times we're just shouting out his name. But I told him that I liked the deal, and he was like, oh, I hate it. It's a disaster. Oh, it's embarrassing. And I'm like, get over it. Like, your team couldn't get anybody. Like, everybody walked on you. Literally no one was coming.
Hibbert seems like a guy that Kobe is going to hate. He's going to hate Roy here, but there's going to be some spats there, no question. And as long as we're in L.A., the Clippers, man, this team is screwed. What the hell's going on with L.A.? That's another zero-star team.
Ooh, like we talked about guys chasing away other guys.
There's so much to keep track of. We didn't mention Draymond Green going back to the Warriors, Tobias Harris going back to the Magic.
Overrated.
Anthony Davis, obviously a big deal. Tyson Chandler to the Suns.
Good one.
Let's do this whole segment again, because I want to give that 5 stars.
Yeah. Tyson, your boy. You hate DeAndre Jordan, but you love Tyson Chandler. Good.
Listen.
Good to know.
I would... No joke, I'd in a second take Tyson Chandler at 4 years, $52 million over DeAndre Jordan at 4 years, $80 million. I wouldn't think twice about that. But anyways, I'm sure we even left more out.
You heard it, owners. This guy, available to be your GM tomorrow. Tyson Chandler, better. Let's take him.
At the price, no debate. So listen, again, I'm sure we left a lot out here. But that's just how it is. That's life.
Yeah,
we'll be
it.
Back next week. Remember to subscribe on iTunes. Remember to tell your friends. JD, you got anything else to say?
Yeah, go watch some Pan Am games. It's going to be really fun.
People, the Pan Am games.
Yeah,
oh, okay, so hold on. Let's really quickly get into this.
Quick.
You saw the roster come out.
Liked it.
3 NBA players.
Yep.
Not surprised by that, are you?
Well, I don't know if Simbular is an NBA player anymore. He's a guy who's been on an NBA roster. I don't know if he's still associated with the Kings.
Three guys with NBA pedigree? No, not even.
Yes, I think that it's going to be fun. Like, Canada's going to be good. This is a solid roster full of good names. People are disappointed because they're like, oh, where's Tristan Thompson? Oh, where's Andrew Wiggins? Listen, this isn't the tournament for them.
That was never going to happen. Yeah.
It was never, ever, ever, ever going to happen. All that rumor stuff was insane.
Yeah, it's hard. If you live in Toronto, it's important to remember that despite what the advertisements say and all the signs you see everywhere, the Pan Am Games are not a big deal.
No, but here's the thing, though.
They just aren't.
If you put this Canada basketball roster out there, even during Steve Nash era, like, this is very impressive. Like, this just shows you how far Canada basketball is coming, that this is kind of like the secondary tier of guys. These are very good players. You're going to get a chance to go see Jamal Murray. You're going to get a chance to see Kyle Wilcher.
Yeah.
Go down there and watch them. It's at Ryerson. It's really close. Those games are going to be packed. It's going to be a really fun atmosphere. I can't wait to go.
Everyone needs to keep this name in mind. Dylan Brooks. He's going to kill it. He's going to kill it in this tournament.
That's your guy.
Him and Jamal Murray, the two under 20 guys.
Yeah, Jamal Murray, I can't wait. I haven't seen Jamal Murray play live yet.
Did you hear the rumor that he turned down a seven-figure pro contract to go to Kentucky? Like the Emmanuel Mudiay route?
I'm not surprised by that. Who wants to go all the way to China and live on their own for a year? That's insane.
No, but are you surprised he got offered that?
Jamal?
Yeah.
It's
kind of cool playing high school in Canada to go to get $1 million to play pro.
Hey, like, no doubt about it. It's just that I think it's that he knows that he's a lock for the pros and he's going to do what's best for his long-term career, not his short-term career. So heavy move. I think that it can help and hurt your stock. But yeah, that's tough to go that far away from home and that lose your comfort level like that.
So Pan Am's going to be cool. One of the reasons, though, that some of the Canadians aren't going to be there is because of the NBA Summer League as well, which is already a ton of Canadians in the Orlando Summer League. Phil Scrubb is playing, Jordan Baczynski, Melvin Ejim, and those are guys who we're going to see at Pan Am, but also at the Vegas Summer League. You know, Raptors just announced their roster for that.
Phil Scrubb.
Phil Scrubb's on that, too.
Baczynski.
Both Baczynski brothers, both seven-footers out of Calgary.
I didn't even really know there was a second Baczynski brother.
Dylan Baczynski.
I was like, oh, Dylan. Okay, right on. Let's see that.
And then we're going to see Bruno there, and we're going to see Bebe there. Hey, maybe next week we can do our Bruno episode. We've got a lot to say about that.
Got a lot of Bruno thoughts.
We got some audio about that, too.
The 905ers. What did you think of that name, by the way, quick? Well, you got so many things quick.
Okay.
Hate it. I hate it. It's so gross.
It's a terrible name,
but it's the
fact is it's a savvy marketing business move.
Sure.
What you've done is included all the people who potentially feel excluded by the whole the six campaign.
Okay, you know? Way to go. We included you. It's terrible. You've got a horrible name. Way to go. It reminds me of Beverly Hills 90210 every single time I hear it.
So I think that's a good as good of a cue to wrap this up as it gets. Remember, subscribe on iTunes, tell your friends. You're listening to Free Association, and now you're not. Da-na-na-na, da-na-na-na.
This is about all of us. I love you, people.